This is one of the Sundays in the church year where you have three wonderful scriptures, and they all fit together so beautifully. The one that you haven't heard read is from the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Part of the story I shared with the children today about that 10th chapter, where God was preparing Peter's mind. Because indeed, Peter, like all Jews, grew up in the synagogue and heard from the temple and the priests and the scribes and Pharisees about all of the rules and regulations of the Jewish faith. And Jesus indeed came first to the Jews. And one of the problems with the early church was that it came out of the Jewish faith, and many of the first believers, like Peter, thought the first step towards Christ needed to be that you should be a good Jew. But we hear from Isaiah in that 42nd chapter that God had placed his Spirit on his servant to be a light to the nations, to be good news, not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And indeed, Jesus fulfilled that. And St. Paul felt he was especially called to share the good news with the Gentiles. But the Jerusalem Christians were a little bit of a problem until that day when Peter had his vision on the housetop in Joppa. And God sent him that vision to let him know that sometimes the rules and regulations that came with the Jewish faith can block the grace of God coming into people's lives. God was preparing him because there were visitors sent from Caesarea to Joppa to invite Peter to come to the house of Cornelius. Now, Cornelius was a retired army man. He was a part of the Italian cohort. And if he was in Caesarea, he was probably retired. So we can think of that as a little bit like Fayetteville, where a lot of retired military settle down. And he was a God-fearer, we are told in the book of Acts. Now, God-fearers were people who believed in the God of the Jews, but they just weren't sure they wanted to go through all those rules and regulations. And most men certainly weren't thrilled about the idea of circumcision at a late age. And in addition to circumcision, you had all of the diet laws and all the rules about what's clean and unclean and do this and do that. So there were people that were God-fearers, and Cornelius was one of these people. And it dawned on me as I was studying the lesson that, you know, we have people who come into the church who had rather be God-fearers instead of Christians. You know, I want to have some kind of relationship to God, but I don't want to go quite all the way. I don't want to get fully involved in the life of Christ and in the life of discipleship. But God was using the fact that this man was open to him to send him a message, and he too had a vision. He had a vision that there was a man called Simon Peter visiting in Joppa, and that he was to send his servants and ask for this man to come and share his message with Cornelius and his household. And so he did that. And at the moment Peter finished his vision, there was a knock on the gate, and there were three visitors there seeking him. And God had prepared him to go with them to visit a Gentile. Now, it's really interesting, when he got to Caesarea and he got to Cornelius' house, he told him, he says, you know, we Jews aren't supposed to socialize with you Gentiles. You know, he was still in his rules. And yet, God has opened up his mind that anything that God had made was good. And so he shared the word of God about this man called Jesus, and how he had given his life on a cross, and how he had died and been resurrected and changed the lives of so many people, and how miracles had been performed in his name. And to his amazement, and the Jewish Christians who went with Peter to Caesarea, the Holy Spirit fell upon these Gentiles, and they began speaking in tongues, just as the apostles had on the day of Pentecost. And Peter looked at the Jewish Christians, and he says, how can we in good conscience hold back baptism from them when they have received the same Spirit that we received? You see, in the new covenant of Jesus Christ, we are called to baptism. And baptism has a very special meaning. It's not just a ceremony in front of the church. It's certainly not a separate ceremony that recognizes something we have done. And membership in the church is a thing that the church added. So when we find a church home, we unite with the church in order to reaffirm our baptism. Because our baptism is a calling to be a part of a new family. The family of God through Jesus Christ. In Matthew, the third chapter, we hear the story that's told in Mark and Luke and John of how Jesus came to the Jordan River to this man called John the Baptist to be baptized. And John the Baptist protested and said, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, let it be so for now. You know, a lot of people had trouble with that. I mean, if Jesus was really the Son of God, if Jesus was really pure and righteous, why was he going out to the Jordan where John was gathering all of these sinners and preaching a baptism of repentance? Why is it that Jesus went there and accepted baptism? Well, you see, Jesus was called to that baptism just as much as he was called to the cross. Just as he is identified with each of us by dying on the cross, when Jesus began his ministry in that holy land, he went to John at the Jordan River and was baptized and identified with all of us as sinners by being baptized. Though he had no sin, he humbled himself in the midst of those people and accepted baptism. God was so overjoyed that the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove and rested on him, and a voice from heaven could be heard saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. He accepted our sin. He accepted baptism and made it holy for all of us to symbolize that God will give us a new life in Christ Jesus. Not just to the Jews, as Peter and the Jerusalem Christians thought, but to all people who would come and kneel and submit and receive that baptism of water and the Spirit. Baptism is not a mark of I have arrived at a certain point in my life and here is a symbol to recognize it. Church membership is not a mark that we have done something for God. It is a symbol that we fall down before God and ask Him to do something for us and through us. Baptism is the mark of being in a new family. St. Paul, in his writing, tells us baptism is dying to the old self and being raised out of the water and with the Spirit to a new self and a new life. We become a part of a family. So here at St. Matthew's, as God's people call together, whether you were baptized here or are a member or are thinking about it, God is calling you to be a part of a family and live out your faith. Now, like a lot of families in our world today, a lot of churches are kind of dysfunctional, just like a lot of families are dysfunctional. They have problems. And like the church of old, we have scribes and Pharisees who want to judge people and lay down conditions on people and decide who's good and who's bad and who's worthy and who's unworthy. And some of them work rather religiously, like the scribes and Pharisees, to persecute whomever they choose and feel righteous to do so. But Jesus calls us into a family of love and acceptance. Jesus would humble us like he humbled Peter in Joppa that day and tell us that no one, nothing that I have created and is alive is bad. Nothing is truly off limits. Everything that is alive because of me. And you should appreciate it. And you should see me in that living thing. And as a loving new family in Christ, we should call forth the best in one another. Baptism is a doorway to a new life. And that's why Jesus chose to begin his public ministry by humbling himself and being baptized. And when we remember our baptism, that too should be a humbling experience. That we're called into a new life of goodness and hope and peace. That we're a family. That when people have been disowned by their earthly family, they can find a family of love here. When people are at odds with their family because of some argument or some break in the human relationship, they can find some healing and comfort here in their new spiritual family. When we're hurting and bruised and beaten down, we can come here in our new family because God is trying to make us into something wonderful through the power and love of Jesus Christ. That a little child who is baptized has the right to that same kind of love, because baptism's not something we do, it's something God does for us. So when we baptize this little child and every other child that has been here, we say, we take you into the family. When we pick up our hymnals and affirm that we accept people in the life of the church, we're talking about a new family that can be better than our earthly family. And because it is better and more rich and full, it helps our earthly families to be whole and complete. You see, the world waited for centuries to hear about a light to the nations, to hear about one who was so loving and so righteous that he would take on our sin at baptism and the cross to create a new family. And we, brothers and sisters, are that family. We really only have one choice. One real, honest choice. Are we going to be a healthy family or a dysfunctional family? By the power of Jesus Christ, we can achieve all the glory that our baptism represents if, like Peter and Jesus, and so many of the saints who have gone before us, humble ourselves and rise to newness of life. This is God's call and claim for baptism, to be his family in this place that welcomes other people freely into the household of God. Let us pray. Lord God, it's easy to forget what some of the rituals of our church mean. And we thank you that in this season, on this day where we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, that your holy Son, who was without sin, took upon our sin as he knelt at the Jordan River before John. And he told us several times in the gospel he had another baptism to be baptized with. And that baptism was on the cross, where he would fully establish the church at the end of his earthly ministry. Lord God, we pray that your Son didn't die in vain for us to live with our own selfish thoughts and desires, with our own rules and regulations and judgments about one another in the church that get in the way of us being truly your family. Help us to reaffirm our baptismal vows, to be a loving family that supports and nurtures one another, even when we don't always agree, to have a love that is more powerful than our differences, to have a joy that is more powerful than our sorrows, to have a compassion for one another that's more powerful than our condemnation of one another, that we might find in this place a loving family that will draw others to your love, Father, through Christ our Lord. Amen.